You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Some call it the doubting disease. OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, is when you get recurring and uncontrollable thoughts, urges, and behaviors. They make you anxious, so you begin performing some action you hope will settle the anxiety, maybe washing your hands or excessive cleaning or tapping. Kirsten Pagosh of Howell began experiencing her OCD symptoms when she was only 9 years old. After decades of wrestling with her disorder, she managed to get free of what she calls the OCD prison. Kirsten's written a memoir designed to help people struggling with obsessive-compulsive disorder. It's called Leaving the OCD Circus. Kirsten, welcome.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.
When you think about being nine, when symptoms began, what changed?
Well, what happened was I started to hear kind of an inner monologue or an authoritative voice that would give me certain instructions. And in the very beginning, because my childhood was unstable, having some order or tapping out to a certain number brought almost a sensation of control that I was able to do something and apply my energies that way. And what happened was, since I let the OCD in the door, if you will, it became much less of a friend and more of a monster.
And that monster, I know you called that monster Sergeant.
Yes. And the interesting thing about the book is that at the time that Sergeant or OCD came into my life, I had no name for it. And I only came up with the name Sergeant when I was writing the book because it's so intangible and mercurial. I couldn't just say, and this thing. I needed to name it something. And that's why Sergeant seemed to make a lot of sense to me.
Beginning then as kind of a maybe a softer approach to helping you make order out of what you say is a chaotic childhood. How did it evolve to this harder, harsher master you call Sergeant?
Well, what happened was more and more he would come into my daily life, my daily thoughts, and the challenges that would be set out before me became much more rigorous and much more frequently. For instance, I would say tap to the number 20, and if my index finger didn't feel quite right, then he would very quickly tell me it was imperfect and count over. So I'd do another 20. Maybe when I was done with 20, I'd have to do 100. Maybe after 100, I have to do 50. And this might have been while I was sitting there, you know, in third or fourth grade, listening to the teacher and silently having to do these tapping drills to satisfy Sergeant.
And then as you get older, you describe in your book, this really put you in a prison.
Absolutely. And a lot of people ask, why do I call my book Leaving the OCD Circus? And one is I definitely speak in metaphors. So prison is definitely a constraining place where OCD can keep you. And the title of the book is the word circus, and not the fun cotton candy good time circus as a kid, but the hellish, nightmarish circus. So whether you're in prison or in a hellish circus, if you can't find your way out and you don't know that there is a way out, then you're absolutely stuck.
What was rock bottom?
Rock bottom for me was I had undiagnosed OCD for 22 years. It was not nearly in the common vernacular like it is now. And I really didn't know what was going on with me, but I knew that I was ill. And I would go to the library and look up bipolar or manic depression and try to get my arms around what I was suffering with. And I had a complete mental breakdown collapse in the middle of a street, of all places, in Walnut Creek, California, when we lived there. And that's when I knew I could not exist with this parallel reality, that I really needed help. And it was much bigger than my husband or myself was able to manage.
And what was the moment of help? Under what guise did that help come?
Well, that is a great question. And I have a passion in my heart for NPR, and I always will, because, like I said, I did not know the letters OCD or what they stood for or anything. I was very much in the dark. And my husband, he's an artist. He was at home in his studio, and he heard a PSA from the International OCD Foundation that said, do you or someone that you know or love suffer from, and they went on to explain OCD. And he sat up and thought, oh my God, this is exactly what we're dealing with. And it was the real eureka moment. And luckily, it came very quickly after my collapse in Walnut Creek.
There is a saying that my husband brought with him from Ireland, that the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
Absolutely.
So putting a name on that, how did therapy help you?
Well, I was very lucky that through this PSA that there were numbers that I could call to get specialists in my area. And the wonderful gentleman who I'm still in contact with, Dr. Kalb in Northern California, was willing and able to see me that day. And that was really the first big step on the path of health and well-being.
Which you try to share as you write your memoir, you're also trying to help people who either are struggling with OCD or, like your husband, love someone who is. And I'm wondering what the do's and don'ts are for, especially for the family, for the friends. What would you tell your husband, knowing what you know now, when you think of those early years?
There's so many different ways I could answer that, but the first thing, speaking to the person with OCD, is that it's a real medical condition. So it's not just a preference of how you like to do things, and I think that very frequently gets very confused. It is not your fault, and it is a medical condition, and it truly is your brain misfiring. And so you really do have something that is medical. It's not made up.
How does someone know whether what they're doing is a habit, hair twirling or maybe skin picking or things like that, versus OCD? What's the border?
A lot of people say that they're on the spectrum after they read the book or what have you. They say, you know, I don't think I have OCD, but I have things that are kind of similar. Basically, what it means is you give up your existence to satisfy this authoritative voice in your head, and you do strange and odd things just to keep yourself going. For instance, someone might go back and check their door and say, oh, gee, did I lock the door? I want to be safe, so I'm going to go back and check it. Is that OCD? No, that's not OCD. That's just being, you know, responsible and wanting to, you know, keep track of your things and stay safe. What OCD looks like is that there's a lot of what ifs and doubts. For instance, I would have gone back and checked my door and thought, okay, it's locked, I can go on to school. Then maybe I'd get 30 seconds, you know, down the path, and OCD says, well, what if you didn't lock it? Because if you didn't lock it and you do such stupid, horrible things all the time, you could cause a death or something catastrophic to your family and your cats and those that you love. So you better go back and check it, because you could be the cause of all these catastrophes. It'll be on your head, so do what you want. And then I'd go, okay, I need to go back and check. And then not check once, but check up to 100 times. There were times in high school I would go into class and I would be sitting there and OCD would be saying, what if you left it open? There could be a murderer that comes in and stabs your mom to death and it's going to be on you. So much that I can't function in daily life, and I would have to go back home and recheck the door, and very much getting caught in this loop. It's quite different, and it's really quite a falling off the cliff when you have OCD as opposed to just having things that you would like a certain way.
And it's treatable.
It's treatable, and there are different things that you can learn. And one of the things, Cynthia, in my book is that, yes, it's a memoir, so the first half is kind of my story, letting you know what I was working with. I was very much a checker and a perfectionist. However, OCD rears its ugly head in so many different ways to different people at different times. And in the second part of the book, I really write a self-help book. And there's so many things that people can start doing right away so they can get onto their big happy life much faster than I got onto mine. Some people do very well with medication. Other people prefer not to use medication. There's also cognitive behavior therapy, where you kind of retrain your thinking, so your feeling is going to be different. And there's also just management of health and diet, getting enough sleep, and doing things that don't exacerbate anxiety.
And clearly, support people in your life can get a lot from this as well.
Absolutely.
Lots of information in this memoir and self-help book from Kirsten Pagosh of Howell. It's entitled Leaving the OCD Circus, and you can find more information by going to leavingtheocdcircus.com. Kirsten, thanks so much for sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, Cynthia.